Welcome to Responding to ACEs, Resources for Resilience, a continuing medical education podcast series brought to you by the College of the Arts and Media and the College of Medicine at Central Michigan University. Adverse childhood experiences, or ACEs, are more prevalent than we think and affect people across all backgrounds. There is mounting evidence that childhood trauma and stress have long-term effects on mental and physical health. The more ACEs a person experiences, the greater the risk of adverse chronic health conditions in adulthood. But there is hope for healing. In this CME podcast series, we will provide you with knowledge, tools, and resources to build a collaborative care approach to addressing ACEs. In this fifth module of Responding to ACEs, Resources for Resilience, you will learn about trauma-focused cognitive behavioral therapy, or TFCBT. This therapy helps children who may be experiencing post-traumatic stress disorder and has a high success rate for helping children with ACEs cope with their stressors and become more resilient. In the first two modules of this podcast series, you learn what ACEs are, their impact on children and adults, and the underlying effects of trauma and toxic stress on the brain and gene expression. In the third module, recommendations for ACEs screening were presented. Taking a social history as well as a medical history is important so healthcare providers can connect patients with the necessary resources to help patients find resilience to face the challenges preventing their well-being. In the previous module, Dr. Larissa Niech explained the benefits of parent-child interaction therapy, or PCIT, and the importance of building loving and nurturing bonds between parents and caregivers and their children. In this module, we will look at treatment for childhood trauma. Dr. Sarah Domoff is a clinical psychologist at the Center for Children, Families, and Communities at Central Michigan University. She is also a professor in CMU's Department of Psychology.
My clinical expertise is around, well, what do we do once we find out that there has been a traumatic experience for a youth? And how do we help train clinicians in treating post-traumatic stress related to adverse childhood experiences? Typically during childhood, we don't necessarily call it adverse childhood experiences. We call it some sort of traumatic experience or traumatic stress related to abuse, exposure to violence, and so forth, or ongoing chronic stressors. So usually when I train clinicians and when I work with individuals who may be seeking services related to a traumatic event, we don't call it necessarily an adverse childhood experience at that moment. We call it what the trauma was. We ask them about all different types of trauma exposure and do a really thorough trauma assessment. But what we do know about adverse childhood experiences, though, as children get older and if they don't receive treatment for the traumatic experience and they're experiencing post-traumatic stress, or they haven't addressed some of the other co-occurring symptoms related to the traumatic event, they may be at higher risk for other concerns as they get older. A variety of physical health concerns or substance abuse or problems with like self-concept or identity. So it's really important, and what I'm really passionate about doing, is screening for any history of trauma when we're working with children and adolescents, asking parents and children about any experiences where they may have felt unsafe, something that was really scary, or they felt like their life was in danger. We really want to understand that and importantly follow up with, well, if they endorse yes, what do we do next? And that's what my clinic at the Center for Children, Families, and Communities does, is trauma-focused cognitive behavioral therapy, or TFCBT. I've been trained in that modality for treating post-traumatic stress or other emotional symptoms, behavioral symptoms related to a traumatic event that the child experienced, such as sexual abuse, physical abuse, exposure to domestic violence, or other types of community violence. There's a variety of longer-term outcomes that can occur for youth who may have experienced a traumatic event and they didn't receive required help to process what happened, especially if they're experiencing post-traumatic stress symptoms. Usually when it's adults who have had traumatic experiences during childhood that they didn't work through, they may report higher levels of other mental health concerns like depression, anxiety, could be using ineffective coping skills, may have had trouble in relationships. Again, it depends on the type of traumatic event in terms of what longer term outcomes may result. What trauma-focused CBT really works on is giving them the coping skills and to help them not avoid traumatic reminders. And so avoidance of traumatic reminders can really have a negative impact on individuals as they get older if they don't learn how to cope with the anxiety or the stress related to reminders of the traumatic event. So you may see youth not wanting to go to school or having trouble in other areas of their life in terms of functioning if they're avoiding activities related to the traumatic event.
Dr. Domoff explains trauma-focused cognitive behavioral therapy, or TFCBT, and how patients who have experienced trauma may present.
I use a variety of questions to ask about trauma history, and there's a whole process for this. It's part of the training that one receives when they are training to become a clinical psychologist. So here at CMU, we have a clinical psychology PhD program, and part of the training is learning exactly how to ask questions of children and adolescents and adults about traumatic experiences they may have. And of course, then what do you do with that information and how do you incorporate that into treatment if it's warranted? You interview children and adolescents very differently. Depending on the nature of the experience, the follow-up questions will also be different. So it's pretty comprehensive and it requires specialized training because you want to make sure that you ask questions in different ways to make sure that if there is something there that the child's struggling with or they experience, that you're able to catch it and address it if there are symptoms related to that stressor. There's a variety of presenting symptoms or concerns related to post-traumatic stress symptoms. So it depends on the events, how chronic the experience is, if they're currently experiencing abuse, the age of the child, their ability to verbalize what happened. There's a variety of aspects that could really make it challenging in a short session to be able to really do such an assessment. And that's why screening for any history of traumatic events is a good first step if you have a limited amount of time in working with a child. But of course, if there are behavioral symptoms, there are problems in controlling the child's behavior, moodiness, emotional ability, regressing back to behaviors they had when they were younger. So if they were toilet trained and then all of a sudden they no longer are using the toilet, or other indications that they've kind of reverted back to behaviors that are younger for someone of their age, those are things where we'd want to clarify if there's any traumatic event or any history there that could be explaining this regression in any way. I'd be curious about, did something occur? And not all children who have traumatic experiences go on to develop PTSD, or the traumatic stress may look different. It really requires a thorough assessment from a psychologist to clarify that. That's why we routinely partner with pediatricians to help them clarify what's going on, clarify if there are other mental health concerns happening. It may not be a traumatic event, but it could just be ongoing chronic stress that is also impacting the child's health and well-being. So we want to make sure that we clarify that and identify that. So what pediatricians or other MDs can do if they have only a short amount of time with children is to, of course, screen for any ongoing stressors or any trauma history that one may or may not endorse. But if they're seeing behavioral symptoms and concerns, it's definitely appropriate to refer to a psychologist to do a full evaluation. What's important is that it's not just a one-time conversation. Of course, it will be difficult for some to endorse or disclose certain things that may have happened or things that were really scary for them. And some may not know that it was a traumatic event at the time, but it's really important that we have an ongoing conversation. So if they don't disclose it in the first session, we see children and adolescents every week. And so we want to make sure to follow up and clarify and rule out other things that could be contributing to symptoms that look like post-traumatic stress. It's really critical for clinicians, for therapists to receive training in how to do this assessment. And psychologists are uniquely positioned to do trauma-informed assessments so that they can really clarify if there's any history there and if it's impacting current functioning.
Licensed psychologists use TFCBT to give children and adolescents the tools and coping skills they need to deal with their trauma. These children will also need help from their parents and/or caregivers.
This is why trauma-focused cognitive behavioral therapy, or TFCBT, is a model program endorsed by SAMHSA and the federal government, is because it not only works with the child around their experiences that they had, processing the trauma, helping them develop coping skills to deal with residual symptoms related to post-traumatic stress. It also includes the parent in these sessions. And so part of that's also helping the parent work through some of their thoughts or beliefs that may be interfering with their ability to process and cope with the experience that their child had. And so it's really critical not to just meet only with the child. It's important to have at least one caregiver involved if there was abuse from parents, the non-offending parent could be part of the treatment, working with the child and his or her parent or guardian, whoever the caregiver is, to help them scaffold the child's practicing of the coping skills outside of the session. For TFCBT to be successful, part of that key component of that intervention is having the child do a trauma narrative where they're talking about the traumatic event and processing it. We want them to be able to do that with their parent or a guardian or whoever is partaking in the treatment with them. And if the parents obviously are having a hard time coping with what happened to their child, it's important that they get the skills as well. And that's built into the TFCBT treatment model. More often than not, I find that parents and caregivers and guardians are sources of resilience for children who have gone through traumatic experiences. What we know is having different resiliency factors are really critical to have in place. So even if a parent or adult in a child's life doesn't really know how to help the child cope with the event, having at least one safe, stable, nurturing relationship with an adult, a caregiver, is a huge protective factor. That is, I think, more critical than being able to independently figure out how to help your child cope with it. If you have a positive relationship with your child, that leads to many positive outcomes.
Several experts in this podcast series identify children with ACEs need a nurturing and safe adult in their lives to be able to find resilience to overcome adversity. But many adults don't know how to be that parent or caregiver for a child with ACEs, so the cycle continues. Dr. Domoff has suggestions for how healthcare providers can help their patients when they suspect or find out about childhood trauma.
It's really critical that healthcare providers, pediatricians, work closely with psychologists and social workers who provide the interventions, because it's great to be able to identify or screen for this or to be aware that adverse experiences happen to people, but it can't stop there. Part of the major issue is getting children and adolescents to providers. There's a huge gap. As psychologists, we know exactly how to treat this. We have excellent evidence-based interventions that have had huge success, and it's really rewarding and exciting that we have this available. The problem is that children and adolescents are not getting the services they need. They're not going to get therapy or help. Maybe because it's not known that they've had an experience like this, there are not enough providers, or the providers are not trained in trauma-focused cognitive behavioral therapy or other evidence-based practices, and so the symptoms are not getting treated. And so that's a huge, huge concern, not just in the region, but across the country. What's critical is it's really great to be screening for this and to identify it, but what's even more important is addressing these huge mental health disparities that children from lower income backgrounds and ethnic and racial minorities experience at greater rates than their peers. What I think pediatricians and doctors can do, in addition to screening for this and being aware of it, is to engage in public policy and advocacy in building connections across communities, meeting psychologists and social workers who are trained in this evidence-based practice to connect the children and adolescents more easily. It would be great if I could work alongside or have my trainees work alongside MDs in their own practice. So if you get an indication that the child had some sort of traumatic experience, being able to bring them right next door to the psychologist or the therapist on staff to talk to them about what treatment would look like could be really helpful, because that also could remove some barriers and stigma. As a clinical psychologist, I think part of my job and what I'm trying to do more of is really connect more and communicate better with other healthcare providers, because I think we often operate in silos, and if we're not connected, we're missing a major opportunity to help children get the services they need. So really learning about what do the different behavioral health providers in the States do, and who's trained in what, and how do you help your patients or the parents that you work with determine if somebody is qualified to treat PTSD, or how to know if the therapy is working, or how to be able to connect to resources that can help children and their families. I think that's a really key piece. For me, I was lucky to work with MDs and PhDs on health issues salient to children from underserved backgrounds. And so for me, what really helped me bridge the gap or become more interdisciplinary is having mentors from very different backgrounds from my own. So I worked with a developmental behavioral pediatrician, worked with people in the school of public health. Working across disciplines drives innovation, and I think crossing those disciplinary boundaries can yield really important developments for health. A lot of clinicians are eager to connect with MDs around this issue, because we know that it's so frustrating to know that you know how to effectively treat a lot of these symptoms and prevent longer-term negative outcomes, but there's just so many barriers, and so we really need to work together and collaborate around addressing some of these health disparities, because I think it definitely will take multiple disciplines to come together to address this, because it's such a huge issue. The percent of children not getting the services they need is very high, because MDs, pediatricians have unique opportunities to see children throughout their childhood. I think they are in a great position to be able to screen for certain concerns, but then also provide these resources to families so they can get connected to someone they see on a weekly basis.
A collaborative care model sounds great. All healthcare providers want to see their patients get the help they need, but the challenge is connecting the disciplines and specialists together. This is not impossible, but it will take effort from everyone working in physical and mental health care. Dr. Domoff shares some internet sources to help you connect with licensed mental health care practitioners for trauma-informed care.
One thing that physicians can do to connect parents and children to resources to help address adverse childhood experiences is they can go to tfcbt.org. There is a registry on there of therapists who are certified in trauma-focused cognitive behavioral therapy, and that's nationwide. So that's a great resource. The National Child Traumatic Stress Network, or NCTSN, also has a lot of great resources and has different clinics and providers listed across the regions in the United States that could also be helpful for physicians who want to obtain more information about traumatic stress during childhood. I definitely would recommend pursuing services at clinics that offer a sliding scale. Specifically, you will be likely to find those at university-based clinics. So for example, at the Center for Children, Families, and Communities here at CMU, we offer a range of treatment services for children from very young all the way up to 18. And so we have trainees learning how to provide trauma-focused cognitive behavioral therapy, and I supervise those cases. And that, again, is reduced cost. We don't take insurance, but it's more affordable for people who may be in between having Medicare, Medicaid, and private insurance. So seeking out university-based clinics could be one great way for individuals in the community to receive evidence-based treatments at a lower cost. What's really critical is that we have ways to connect youth who have had traumatic experiences to providers who are trained to deliver this evidence-based intervention, and that we reduce barriers to getting children into these types of clinics that provide trauma-focused cognitive behavioral therapy. Another critical piece in terms of education and in working with people who could do these referrals is to clarify what do you want to look for in a clinician that you may refer one of your patients to. So are they trained in this evidence-based practice? Are they using cognitive behavioral techniques and exposure so that there's a reduction in avoidance of stimuli that could be really anxiety-provoking or connected to the traumatic event? So there are different features or kind of components of interventions that really work that we want to make sure that children get access to, and that their parents are also involved in the treatment so that everyone is connected and providing support for the child to recover from any ongoing stress related to the traumatic event.
Trauma-focused cognitive behavioral therapy can help children and parents or caregivers overcome traumatic events. In this module and the previous module, we learned about helping children experiencing ACEs. But what about adults who have experienced ACEs? In the next module of Responding to ACEs, Resources for Resilience podcast series, you will examine how to help your adult patients with ACEs get on a path to resilience. This has been a production of the College of the Arts and Media and the College of Medicine at Central Michigan University.